by God's grace this morning, we will talk about renewing the mind. Proverbs 4:23. The wise man says that we should guard our heart with all diligence. From out of it flows the issues of life. We should guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And we're taught to rethink, but thinking comes from your heart, in a sense, comes from your mind. And if we reflect on that Proverbs 4:23, then in essence also the wise man Solomon was saying to us that the most precious possession a man has is his heart. Think about it. He says, guard your heart with all diligence, every kind, in every way you can, in every possible way you can. Guard your heart, for every issue of your life, every issue of life, every issue of life flows from the heart. You know, sometimes people say that it was a slip of the tongue. Let us be sincere, your tongue does not sleep. Your tongue is a reflection of what is in your heart. If you didn't think it, your tongue wouldn't say it. Anything you say, you thought it. Abi? You can say, I didn't mean it, but you thought it. If you thought it, somewhere inside of you, you meant it. Somewhere, one corner, one spot, you meant it. Solomon says, guard our heart, because our heart is a possession we cannot afford to be careless with. It also means, in essence, that the mind can be stolen. It means the mind can be stolen. If the mind cannot be stolen, why do you need to guard it? If the mind cannot be lost, why do you need to guard it? So it means that you are not the only one who is, quote unquote, interested in your mind. I'm sure you have heard when people say they lost their mind. I lost my mind. It means that there is a safe place for your mind, and there are sometimes when somebody something. And when people lose their minds, you know, because they don't act like people. They don't act rational. But do you know something else we can pick from that Proverbs 4:23? There is a truth we must reflect. If Solomon says, guard your heart, it means that your heart has an original residence. There is somewhere it is supposed to reside in. Because if it is not resident where it's supposed to be, then there's nothing to guard. If there is nowhere to keep it, if it's not in a storehouse, quote unquote, there's nowhere to guard. There's a right and safe place for your heart to be, for your mind to be. And as powerful as it is to rethink, you cannot think beyond the capacity of your mind. You know, when we say, when they say this, they say, oh, think. You cannot think in abstract. You cannot think in a vacuum. You must think on something. And that brings us to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul was talking to the Roman church, and by extension was talking to us, and he says to the Roman church, he had told them in verse 1, he said to them that they should present their bodies to God as a sacrifice. And then he says to them, and do not be conformed to this world. I will come back to what I want to say. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to know something. Let's read verse 1 and verse 2 together, and I just want to share a thought for us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Now, can I say something to us? If we read it the way it's supposed to be, in essence, how you use your mind is a reflection of your service to God. He had told them one way to serve God is to present your bodies. But he says, and. So in addition to presenting your body as a service to God, you must renew your mind. Because if your mind is malfunctioning, it cannot serve God correctly. You can be told what to think, or we can even be told what is good to think. But if the mind is not sound, it will not think what it's supposed to think. So Paul says, renew the mind. Can I say to us this morning, the word renew, another word for it would be to renovate. That's the concept Paul was trying to pass to give across. When he says we should renew our minds, he was saying to them, renovate your mind. And if you notice, Paul did not speak in a perfect tense. They will say it in English. That means it is complete. He spoke in a continuing tense. It means this is something you must consistently do. If renewing our mind is something we must consistently do, then it also should tell us that it means that our minds get worn out. No matter how good your mind is now, in the process of time, your mind will get worn out. Your mind will get tired. If I ask some of us here and I say to you, are you tired? If you are sincere, your answer is yes. It's not that your body is tired. It's that your mind is tired. There are weights you carry in life that causes your mind to be overwhelmed. There are events that happen to us that makes you to become, that causes your mind to lose its strength, that causes the mind to lose its fire. If I put in other words, there are things that happen to us that damage our minds. Sometimes you hear people say things like, I don't like people like this. Ask them what happened with somebody like that. They've experienced somebody like that before in their life. How many of you don't like dogs? You don't like dogs. Oh, everybody here likes dogs. I'm the only one that doesn't like dogs. Okay. I don't like dogs. I am not afraid and ashamed to say it. I do. If you love me, don't ever say, I love you, I brought a dog for you. Just keep your dog to yourself. I cannot have a dog as a pet. I reject it in Jesus' name. You're wondering, you're like, is it that bad? Yes. Do you know the funny about it? Ask me why. Because I had bad experiences with dogs. Has a dog ever chased you before? If a dog chases you, you will not like dogs for the rest of your life. But do you realize that dogs are not bad? My reaction to that dog is a product of my experience with the dog. So my perception of dogs was damaged, not because dogs are bad, but because I had a bad experience. There are many things that you do not like. There are many things that you do and you do not do. Not because God has said you can't do them, but because your mind is damaged. So when you hear people say things like, why am I giving to God? Their mind was damaged. There are people that don't go to church because their mind was damaged by an experience they had with people in church. Paul says the answer is to renovate your mind. Renew your mind. In essence, Paul is saying to us, get new spare parts and change the things in your mind that are bad. Do you know that there are experiences you have that make you not to trust God like you used to trust God before? You have not denied Christ. You're not saying God is not God. You know God is God. But if those things, if something like that happens, you say to yourself, I'm not sure that I don't know what God will do. I'm not ashamed to say it, so I will say it anyways. When my younger sister passed on, I prayed and I was so certain in my heart that God was going to take charge of it. That's one of the things. Sometimes when God says to you, I will take charge of something, you better ask him clearly what he means by I will take charge. Because sometimes the definition of take charge is not the same. You have to confirm God's definition. God's definitions are unique. So clarify. Don't just say, okay, I know. Mm-mm. Clarify. And I was so sure. And somebody even sent me a message and said, God said he would take charge. I got two or three different people that I knew. Now, God didn't tell me what to do. Yes, he didn't say, oh, you must go and do this. And no, but I was so confident in my heart. A pastor in Mina was saying, when his wife would say they should pray, the man said, I've prayed and God said he would take charge of it. So what is there to pray for? Because God has already said he will take control. Why are you praying? So we're all confident that God will take charge. God took charge. There's no lie about that. But when she passed on, one of the toughest things for me was praying for people. Because I asked myself the question, if I prayed and God said he would take charge, and she passed on, what is the guarantee that if I pray for this person and God speaks, I can trust it? That's a damaged mind. That's a wounded mind. And I remember one of the things that God did for me was practically everybody I prayed for after she passed on, practically everybody that I prayed with, I'll say, and he says, oh, pastor, some people, and it's so funny, people were just coming. They'll say, oh, pastor, you know, I just thought about, I needed, and I just want you to pray with me. And I was like, go to that. They'll say, no, it's you I want you to pray with. it's you that God sent me to. And I'm like, what is this? But one thing that happened was practically everybody that I prayed with, God answered. And I came out like, okay, so God, when you can give them their answer, why did you give me my own answer? But one thing he did for me was it reminded me that God answers prayers. Some of us are looking for healing in our minds. That healing comes when you renew your mind. You are waiting for God to pour one water on your mind. And look, can I be sincere with you? There are things that you have experienced that you will never forget. Healing is not always that you forget what happened to you. Healing is that you have risen above what happens to you. There are things that happen to you that you will not forget. But the truth is, the evidence that you are healed is not that you don't remember what happened, is that what happened to you does not have a hold upon you. That's when you have been healed. That you can think about it, and then when you think about it, you like, you are healed. Too many of us, you are waiting to forget. And because you are waiting to forget, you are not being healed. I can speak from experience that when you lose somebody, the healing is not that you forget. You don't forget. So when we don't renew our minds, Paul says, if you don't renew your mind, in essence, then your mind will break down. And when the mind breaks down, your life will break down. And if you ask car owners, the earlier you hear the sound of something in your car, the earlier you repair it, the better for you. If you are driving a car and you start hearing pum, 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 just look, just go and find out what is wrong. Because if you say, let me manage it, the day the car will stop by itself, you will pay more than you should have paid. And if you know you want to use your car, you will still pay anyway. And that's the same way with our minds. Once you begin to realize there are things that you are not responding to correctly, it is time to begin to work on the mind. Paul says, renew your mind. But you see, he didn't even say we should renew our minds so that we can be successful. He didn't say we should renew our minds so that we can be rich and wealthy. He didn't say we should renew our minds so that you can have a positive life. He says, renew your minds so that you can prove. Prove there means you can show. In essence, God can use you to show to people what the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God is. How can God show people his plan if he does not use you? But how can God use you if your mind does not belong to him? So we have to think, rethink our lives, yes. But we also need to renew our minds. So how do we renew the mind? Share some thoughts with us this morning and then we'll pray. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. If we're going to renew the mind, then you must determine what the standard for your life is. You must set a standard for your life. Look, our minds work based on what we tell it our standard is. If you say something is not wrong, and you tell yourself it is not wrong, your mind will accept it. Your mind is a blank slate. It is what you write on it, it's whatever is written on it that the mind accepts. It's whatever is controlling your mind that controls your life. Joshua 1 verse 6, let's read from there. It says, be strong and be of good courage. For to these people, let me move on, please, so that we don't take too much time. Verse 8 is where I want to go, so let's just go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night to observe to do. Do you notice something about it? That it is what you meditate upon that you do. And where does meditation take place? In the mind. But when God was speaking to Joshua and he was telling Joshua, you will succeed, he told him, the secret to your success is in what you make a standard for your life. And he told him, make the book of the law the standard for your life. Can I ask a question? Were there strategies for winning wars in that book? So you have read, how many of us have read Genesis to Deuteronomy? Since you were reading, have you ever seen in the Bible where it says, when you go and meet your enemy, you come from the left, you come from the right? It's not there. I can say I know I've read it. It's not there. There are no war strategies written in the book of the law. The book of the law was written and it says, oh, don't touch this. Don't eat this. So when God was saying to Joshua, you should study it and you will have success, how was he going to have success when he did not tell him how to fight battles? Because of standard. And because God knew that if he meditated upon the word, then he will always have favor with him. If you don't set a standard for your mind will accept anything and everything. And the Bible says, make the Bible your standard. Make God's standard your standard. What is your standard? And I'm sincere, that it's easy to fall into this trap where you say, Shebi, so-so person is doing it. Shebi, this person is doing his own like this, and me, I'm not doing like that. It's not funny how sometimes we tell ourselves, I'm not as bad as this person. Yes, it is true, you're not as bad as that person, but is that person the standard? And Shebi, those ones, they will add 5 zeros. Man, it's only 1 zero I used to add. It's only 1 zero. I did the standard. Paul says that when we compare ourselves to ourselves, it is foolishness. If we're going to renew our minds, then we must set standards for ourselves that align with what God expects of us. Yesterday, someone offended me and said something, and I was angry, and I was like thinking to myself, I'm going to just show this person that I'm angry. One of the things I've not liked I say it a lot to people, is I always tell God, I think sometimes being a Christian is unfair to Christians, because God expects you to always behave, even when people are misbehaving. He's always asking you to behave. So when someone is misbehaving, and you are thinking, yourself, okay, I'm going to show this person. You're not the only one that has the monopoly of madness. Me too, I have madness running inside my body. And then you are thinking, I will show this person how mad I am. And then you remember that your standard and their standard are not the same. So when you walk around and you say, this is Nigeria, you have told us what your standard is. It's the truth. Once you say to yourself, this is Nigeria, you are telling us what your standard is. It means that the standard by which you operate is the Nigerian standard. Let's even say you want to be, let's even keep it human. Why can you not choose American standard? Or British standard? Why is it Nigerian standard? Why do you want to choose Nigerian standard? Or like when we do some work in our office, they will say there's Bukuru standard. So some people, you say their own standard is Bukuru standard. Choose better. You can elevate your standard. Your standard becomes the limits or the guiding principle by which you are seeing things. Your mind is renewed when you use the right standard for living. What's another thing which we need to renew our minds? If you're going to renew the mind, you must give the right perspective to your past and your present. You must give the right perspective to your past and your present. When you read Numbers chapter 14, in Numbers chapter 13, Moses had sent the spies. They had gone to spy out the land, and they had come back. They had given their report. By the time you read chapter 14, the first few verses from verse 1, you will realize something that the children of Israel said. Let's read verse 2, so that, just to give us a perspective. It says, Numbers 14, verse 2, it says, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" I was talking to some people recently, and I said, I don't understand it. Maybe you can help me. Were they enjoying in Egypt? Because I don't get it. There were rich people in Egypt. They were the owners of the land in Egypt. What were they in Egypt? They were slaves. But yet they were saying, look, they are seeing the promised land. And they were saying, we would rather go back to Egypt. If you don't renew the perspective, if you don't have the right perspective about your past and your present, your mind will not change. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, he said, don't say that the good old days, because when you ask the people that live in those days, they were complaining. Abi, the first student riot in Nigeria, the first student riot, what caused it? Do you know what caused it? The size of chicken. Because they changed the size of the chicken. If I'm not mistaken, I think my mother said that they used to give them half chicken. Then they said they'll give them quarter chicken, and the student went on riot. They're nowhere. Now, what are students fighting for? No light. You have exams and there will be no light in the hostel. My first student demonstration was part of that. That was part of the problem. I was in school and we didn't have light. We didn't have water. You will have to queue. In the middle of the night, you hear people doing borehole. 2 a.m., packer. Because if you don't fetch the water there, you might not get water to fetch again. Once they take light, that's the end. You have to wait. So we went on a peaceful demonstration. And then they sent us police and sent us. We stayed at home 6 months. 6 months we were at home. But do you know something? The way you define your life is based on your understanding of your past and your response to your present. That's how your mind interprets life. if you have the wrong understanding, let's use Israel for example. Now, in their mind, being slaves was better than dying. But can I be sincere with you? When they were slaves, they probably would say, God, I would rather die than be a slave. Now, Nigerians are here and they're telling us the past government is better than this one. When we had it, what did we do to it? They condemned it. Let me rephrase this illustration of the present and the past and use it and say, if you don't have the right perspective of your expectations and your realities, your mind will malfunction. Look, everybody lives life with expectations, but everybody experiences realities. The truth is, if I ask Elon Musk, when you were growing up, you had this picture of where you wanted to be. Oh, well, I will do this. Oh, I will do that. When you give birth, my children will become this. I was telling somebody, talking about my youngest sister, and I said to the person, do you know the truth? It never occurred to me that I will grow old and she will not be there. It never occurred to me. So every time I planned my life, it was that we'll get to a point, she will come with her children, all of us will meet. That's how my mind had always worked. What is my reality? She's not here. If I keep holding on to that expectation and I don't accept the reality, what will happen? My mind will crash. And that's the problem a lot of us having working with God. There's what we think God should do for us, and there's what is happening now. And because we cannot accept both of them, we abandon God. Paul says, renew your mind. Don't let your expectations destroy your faith in God. Because the truth of the matter is, the realities you have now will not change God. Both your expectation and your realities don't change God. God is God. God is the only one that is constant. You must put your expectations and your reality in sync. You must make sure that you don't misalign them. I was counseling some people some years back, and they were in debt, and they had some debt to pay off. And I realized in the midst of counseling that they were looking for this one big payday when they'll just get all the money and pay all their debt. Now, we had prayed. So there was sometimes you send me a message, please pray for us, Pastor. Please pray for us. Let God just take it away. Let God just. One day I was not praying to God. I said, God, this prayer, me, I'm tired, dude. I'll be praying every time. I'll be praying away. Take it away, take it away. When will you take it away? And I heard God say to me, why can't they just settle it step by step? Why must I give them all the money at once? All the money I've been giving them, what did they do with it? And I had to call them and tell them, why don't you just settle this thing step by step? Little by little, if you owe someone 1 million and you are paying 10,000 every month, before you know it, you shall go somewhere. Yes or no? The day when the big money comes, will you not still be able to settle more? I just realized that sometimes because we cannot manage our realities, our minds don't function as God designed for it to function, and we don't walk in the realities that God wants us to walk in. If your expectations become a barrier to your relationship with God, you will not enjoy the fullness of God. Am I making sense? Show one or two more, and then we'll go this morning. Let's read verse 3 and 4 of that Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 12 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Let's go to verse 5, sorry. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one body." Paul says, if you're going to renew the mind, then you must humble yourself. Look, humility is a recognition of your uniqueness. You recognize that you are unique. You are not like anybody else. But you also realize that your uniqueness is meant to fit into a whole, into a bigger thing. So yes, you are unique. Yes, you are different. Yes, you are special. But your being special only works when you are part of something else. Look, when your mind is geared towards service, you cannot be proud. Because proud people don't serve. I'm using it as an example. You can't be proud if you serve. So your mind, if you're going to shift your mind and shift the gears of your mind, one way to do it is to humble yourself. Paul said, don't think of yourself. So don't apply your mind to elevating yourself beyond what you should be. We always say it, and we laugh, and it's funny, but it's the truth. This statement, "Do you know who I am?" Who are you? You are nothing. You are dust. You die, they buy jets, they put jet in your... Look, even if we bury you in a jet, you and the dead jet, you are dust. If we like, let us, if you like, be the richest man in the world, and we die, and we give you the whole world, what are you? You are dust. After we bury you, after a few years, we'll come and reclaim our land. Come and reclaim our land. I mean, is that not what happens? Are many people not living on burial ground? Like, ask Pastor Francis, even in Kangang, there are many people that their houses are on former burial grounds. Are they not living? Don't tell them, because if you tell them, some of them will not sleep again. So just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Let them know. Because if they know, some people will not sleep again. They will start seeing demons everywhere. They will start seeing spirits everywhere. The point at the end of the day is, whatever you, how you think of yourself affects your mind. If you realize that you were created for a purpose and you fit into that purpose, your mind will be renewed. So one thing you must do is to humble yourself. Is you must realize that I was made by God for God's purpose. I am submitted to God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Amen. I need to round up now. Luke 17, verse 7. Read from verse 7. Can we start reading from verse 8? Verse 7. "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once, sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Jesus was speaking to the parable, and he said to them, when a master, goes out with the servant, and the servant walked and walked and walked, and they come back home, would the master now say, sit down, let me take care of you? Or would the master say, go and prepare my food? He said, and after the servant has done that, will the master now say, oh, thank you for doing a good job? Or will the servant know that his master will not thank him because he has only done what he was employed to do? If you realize that God put you here to do what he wants you to do, your mindset about life will change. There are too many of us that want to be appreciated before we do what we're supposed to do. You are in church and you sweep the floor and then you want everybody to come and say, please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to say it again. I'm not saying appreciation is bad. That's not the point. But once you do something, you want everybody to clap for you first and say, oh, you did a good job. If you are not clapped for, can you do what you're supposed to do? Paul says, if we humble ourselves, we will reset our minds. If you humble yourself, your mindset about life will change. It will line up with what God desires for it to be. There is a way God wants for us to live our lives. That's why Paul said there is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There is. But we can't do it with the old mind that we have. We can't keep saying to ourselves, I'm going to do it anyhow I like. Because if you think like that, we're not going to align ourselves with God's will for us. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Last thing we'll talk about this morning is association. What you associate with has an effect on your mind. If we're going to renew our minds, then we must control our association. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with the wise, or he who walks with wise men, will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Association rubs off on you one way or the other. But I will qualify it. I'm trying to say something. But association rubs off on you. Do you know the challenge with association? Sometimes the problem with association with people you associate, the people you call your friends, It's not what you are doing. It's what people think you are doing. Because let me be said with you, if you live on this earth, you have friends that are not born again. Yes or no? It's the truth. You will have people that you know that are not Christians. They don't even believe in anything about God. The challenge is there's a way you and them are friends that people will just believe that since you are with this person, you too don't believe anything about God. It was in university that it first dawned on me that that's how human beings are, because I had friends when I first got to university and we're quite close and walk around everywhere. I walked around mainly because we're coming to, in school together, so we sort of like pallied. But after a year of university, I'd settled down and I'd found new friends who were more Christian than this or the other ones. So I got close to another person, another one of our classmates. I got close to him and we're talking, and then he said to me, "Now I know you're a Christian." I said, "What does that mean? I've always been a Christian." He said, "No, I used to doubt it because when that time you walk with this person, I walk with this person, and I say, ah, can you be a Christian and be walking with them?" Well, I live in the world. I cannot ignore people. But what I'm trying to get at is for you to understand that sometimes the problem with your association is not that you are being affected by it. It's that people use the same brush to judge you. But speaking again to ourselves specifically, for us to renew our minds, we must be conscious of our association. David said it in Psalm 1 verse 1. The first psalm, the first verse, think about it. The very first thing that David said in Psalms was, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of coffers, scorners." All those things are association. It talks about who you listen to, who you walk with, who you sit with. Association is not just about people, as in friends. Who are you submitting your ears to? Do you understand with you? Even in church, we need to be careful. Sometimes the challenge with association is not the people we relate with. It is how we relate with them. God said this thing to me many years ago, and I'll just share with us. It says, it is those who you give control to that affect you. It is the people you give control of your life to that affect you. That you talk to somebody doesn't mean the person can affect your mind. There are people that talk to you and you don't care what they say, Abby. They are talking and you're like, when you were in school, is it all your teachers you listen to? Were all your teachers talking? They were talking, but you can choose to not listen to someone. So that the fact that you are and somebody are close does not mean that you have to submit your life to them. 1 John 4 verse 1, John said in 1 John 4 verse 1, he said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Not everybody that uses the name of God should be listened to. The fact that somebody quotes scripture does not make them from God. In this day and age of free TV, and everybody having Christian channel, some of us, you listen to every kind of person. Paul said, test the spirits. Because what you submit your ears to will affect your mind. The moment you say to yourself, "This I love listening to this person," your mind accepts what that person says. Someone said something to me some years back, and it always scares me and has taught me, it makes me very careful what I say. The person came to ask me something, and I said, I don't really know. The person said, "No, whatever you say is what I'm going to take." And I said, "No, I'm not good." The person said, "I don't care. I'm just telling you, whatever you say is what I'm going to believe." And I was thinking in my mind, this is dangerous. It is life, but it's dangerous. Like one day, daddy came to the office and he said to us, "Say, pray for me." He said, "Because that I will give good counsel to people." Because once people submit their lives to you, you are influencing their mind. That's what makes the judgment of a pastor very serious, because you are controlling people's lives. You are controlling how they think. Some of us, you think that, I just come to church. Everything we say here, you are hearing it. Somebody said once, "I came to church and I didn't really feel like coming to church." He said, "But you just said one thing." They just said one thing or the other, and my mind just, even if that's the only one thing, that one thing has influenced the mind. If we're going to renew our minds, then it's important that we remember that you must set the right standards for your life. You must have the right perspective of your past and your present. You must humble yourself. You must watch your association. It is not wrong to belong to groups, but do not submit yourself to everything a group believes. But I will say also, as we pray this morning, renewing your mind is your responsibility. Paul said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's a part of it that is your responsibility. You must take responsibility for it. It's your mind. It is not God's mind. It is your mind. It is not your wife's mind. It's not your husband's mind. It is your mind. And until our minds are renewed, we'll find it hard to see the perfect, the good, and the acceptable will of God. I pray for us that we'll be committed to doing what we need to do to have the right mind for life. Guard your heart with all diligence. And the things that God has shared with us today are ways for us to be diligent in guarding our hearts. Ask us to bow our heads in prayer this morning. I'd like you to pray for yourself. As we come into this year 2022, that everything it takes to renew the mind, to have the right mindset for life, that God, help me to do it. Help me to apply myself. Like we've heard this morning, it's not about success. As we measure it, it's not about wealth. It's about aligning with God's purpose and will for you. That mindset that allows you to align with God, that God will give it to you. God will empower you. Just pray for ourselves this morning.